Thank you, Terry, and thank you everybody for welcoming me. My name is Paul V. I'm a compulsive eater, and I live in Alberta, Canada, where the overnight low was 29 below last night. My wife and I, we have eight children, including my second oldest son, who's getting married this summer, and my oldest daughter, who just got engaged last week. And the reason I want to share that very joyful news, is that joy, the joy that I now have in life, was made possible by this program. It's because of this program that I actually have that joy, because I came into this program in January of 21. My abstinent date is February 9th of 2021, just a few days ago. Before I came into program, I thought I was doing okay as a dad, as a person. But clearly I wasn't, because just before coming into program, my oldest daughter and then my oldest son told me in very clear terms that they wanted nothing to do with me and they wanted me out of their lives. So fast forward that to the news I just told you, and program has turned this around, turned me around. So I'm a compulsive eater, but I'm more than that. And I wrote down a few things, so I wanted to make sure I remember them. I am a grateful and recovering addict, and I am so happy to be with you, to be able to share the joy of program, the joy of life. But I was a very different person before coming into program, so I still have to own up to all of the things that I was and still am. So before coming into this program, I was dishonest, I was cowardly. I was selfish and self-centered. I was childish, resentful. I was codependent. I was angry. I was a living in fear addict. I was all of those things. And I still am those things, but I'm also recovering. And I'm very grateful that I'm recovering. I was trying to hide all of those negative things, right? That's what I was doing in my life. I was dishonest, and because I was trying to hide from all of the things I didn't want to feel. And I was certainly not joyful. I was truly driving away my family, the oldest two, but I could clearly see that I would drive away, well, my wife and also all of my kids, all the other six as well. My wife and I, as I mentioned, that we have eight kids, and my two oldest kids had told me they wanted nothing to do with me because I was a controlling and manipulative, dishonest person. I was a person who took more than I gave. Looking back, I can see where that came from. My parents were both psychologists and social workers, and they were raised, the predominant philosophy of the time for psychologists was behaviorism. In other words, you do this, and then the child will do that. It's like training a dog. And I got the message, very clear message, that love was conditional. I don't mean to say my parents are bad. They were doing the best that they could, but I clearly got the message was, if you're a good boy, then we'll love you. But if you're not, then we don't. And I was never enough. I wasn't good enough to earn that love. I wasn't strong enough or smart enough. I wasn't who my parents wanted. I got that message very clearly. They were trying to make me into something good. They tried their best, but I could never be enough. And if I was never enough, therefore, I must be bad. I must be evil, right? And if I was bad, then not only did my parents not love me, well, then God didn't love me either. And we'll get to how that turned around too. When I was a kid, I heard a lot of fire and brimstone sermons, and I knew that God hated sin, so I knew that God hated me also, but I hated him back, and so I blamed God for the very imperfect person that I was. I still wanted to be liked and loved. And so I worked really hard to please my parents. And then, of course, when I got married, when I was an adult, I tried really hard to please my wife and my kids. But again, it was just never enough. And I now see that it was fake. I was fake. I would do something to please you so that you would thank me, so that you would praise me, so that you would appreciate me, so that you'd love me. It was all manipulative. I was doing something for that purpose. And my two oldest kids saw through that. I was really blind to the pain that I was causing others. All I could see was the emptiness inside of me. It was a fear that I tried to fill by eating. I remember talking to a friend friend, you know, we went to high school together. He's now a therapist, and he lives in Michigan. And he says, "So when you feel emotionally empty, what do?" I said, "I eat. At least I can feel physically full, right?" Well, I was so afraid that anybody would see the real me, because if you saw the real me, I was so sure that you would reject me. So I lived in fear every moment of every day, and the fear was this: who I am isn't good enough, and that I am useless, worthless, unloved, unloved, and unlovable. I still can't get through saying those words without getting choked up, because those were so clear, but so those words were white hot. You know, they would burn me inside because I felt them so keenly. And I believed that for decades. I believed that I was, as I say, worthless, etc. I tried all the self-help books and programs and so on, but they didn't get to the root of the problem, which was that empty hole right there, until I came into this program. Now, if any of that, what I've just said, connects with your experience, well, then this family that you see around you here, all of these Hollywood squares, all these fellow addicts around you, then this is the place for you. Overeaters Anonymous is the place for you. If anything I've said connects, because you know this is the OA family, this family, and it's a family because it's a family of choice. This isn't my family of origin, not my mom and dad, but it's the family I choose to be part of, because you are the people I choose to be with now. I choose you today, and I'm really glad that you invited me to be here. You know, when I was new, I heard those three steps that we heard read. You know, we admitted we were powerless over food; our lives had become unmanageable. Well, what's the translation of that? I got a problem. Well, yeah, I knew I had a problem. I didn't realize how severe it was till my two oldest kids made it very clear to me. Number two, I came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us, me, to sanity. So I got a problem, and I hope it can be fixed. There's the translation for number two. Number one, I got a problem. Number two, I hope it can be fixed. And number three, made a decision to turn our life and our will over to the care of God as we understood God. Made a decision to go with whatever that power is that might fix me. Now, that was a real problem for me. I mentioned before coming into program that, you know, I thought God hated me, and I was sure God hated me, and I hated him back. And so, wait a second, you want me to turn my life over? You want me to turn my life over to that rotten God who made me this way? What? You know, I couldn't see that at all. But the words of step three don't say that. It said, turn our life and will over to the care of God. Read that word carefully, the care of a higher power. So what does that mean? Putting my life and my will into the care of God? Well, how do I know God cares? Well, I have come to know in the last 4 years that I know that I have a higher power that cares, because you care. You're my fellow addicts all around me right now. I could see it. I could feel it shining through the faces of all of these people. And that's where I really came to experience God love and care for me. You know, the self-help books that I tried, and I went to conferences and just trying to make me better. And it didn't have a lasting effect, but this program did and still does. And so, you know, is it because I'm with a group of other people? Yeah. Somebody then asked, I remember I was describing this to somebody, and they said, "So you needed a group of other people to hold you accountable?" And I said, "No, I needed a group of other people around me to hold me acceptable, to say, you're accepted here, Paul. We love you until keep coming back. You know what? We're so glad you're here. You are welcome here. You're an addict? Wonderful. Thank you for being honest. And thank you for showing up. Thank you for having the courage to simply show up and be here. You're one of us. You are accepted." That's what I needed. That's what I needed. I didn't believe in unconditional love until I came to OA meetings. I remember that the very first one, you know, my camera was off, my mic was off, and I heard somebody being honest. And it was a good thing my camera was off, because I'm going, ah, like, I can't believe that person just said that. You know, being honest, so really honest with all of these other people around. And then, if I was sure if it was me talking, everybody else would have said, "Yeah, thanks, Paul. You can leave now and don't call us and we won't call you." But that wasn't what happened. People said, "Wow, that's amazing. Thank you for being so honest. Thank you for your courage. Please keep coming back." And I didn't understand that. Keep coming back. We accept you here because this is a program of action, not understanding. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand unconditional love, but I understood that I got it from you. And I hope you can get it from the rest of people. So I took action. I got a sponsor. I worked the steps. And it was especially, working. I work at step 10 every day, as well as step 11 and 12. I reach out to others. I do service. What I've discovered is the more service I do, the more recovery I get. It's a wonderful mathematical formula, and it really works. Working steps 10 as well as step 4 and 5. I take a like step 4 is taking a fearless and searching moral inventory of myself, of my whole life. And that was scary. A lot of people resist doing that. Well, okay, so then can you do a fearless and searching moral inventory of one day? That's step 10. So what I do with my sponsor and with people that I sponsor is I work that step 10 every day. So tell me about your day. And we work through the selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear. That's what we work through every day. And that's what really has helped a lot of people deal with all of the stuff from their past. Because why did we turn to addictions? Addictions are just coping strategies. I turned to an addiction, overeating, so that to cope with the things that I really didn't want to feel. So I turned to my addiction, and that's what I did. So now, by looking at all of the things that I've done, all the things that I still do, I can learn to accept myself and accept and even forgive myself. So it's wonderful that we got found those addictions at the time because they got us here. We're still here today. But now we can find some healthier, better coping strategies. Food got me here to today. I was, feeling physically full when I was emotionally empty. But now we can find some better coping strategies. Learning to forgive myself also, by the way, helped me to forgive God, which maybe that sounds pretty funny. I'm forgiving God. But I blame God for everything that I was, everything that went wrong in my life, whether I stubbed my toe or my hockey team lost. Every single time I would blame God for that. I was weak and I was manipulative, and it was God's fault, damn it. Well, when I look back on the view that I had, God was the stern and vindictive, all seeing, all knowing, all powerful. But I've since come to believe that there's a better term for that higher power that I believe in, and that is all loving. So if you're a person like I was who has trouble with that God question, you don't believe in God, don't. But believe in this. Believe in the love that you see with all of the people here. Because, how can we possibly show this love to each other, right? How is that even possible? Because you're just a bunch of addicts. That's what we are. How is it possible that we could reach out to each other? How is it possible we could love each other? Well, it's possible because that love, that unconditional love that we receive from our higher power, shines through all of us. That's what I believe in. And yeah, I've come to believe that not only is that love shining through all of you, it's shining from my higher power as well. And imagine that, my higher power doesn't hate me. What a wonderful thing to discover. And I discovered because I came into program. So we're here because we know that this program works. This fellowship is a family of imperfect people supporting and accepting and loving each other. We're all fellow pilgrims on this journey, working our way through the steps. And the steps will bring you to this incredible joy. When I first came into program, as I mentioned, 4 years ago, I thought, I'm 62, and I have been hurting people, hurting my wife, my kids for decades, decades now. I mean, at least 40 years. So is it going to take me 40 years to fix this? Is it going to take me 40 years to repair all of this? I don't think I have 40 years. I'll have to live to 102. I don't think it's going to happen. And here we are 4 years later, 4 years later, and my oldest daughter is sending me pictures. My oldest daughter wanted me out of her life, is sending me photos
Five
showing
more
me,
minutes, Paul.
sorry,
Five
was
more
that 5 minutes?
minutes. Five more minutes, yeah.
Thank you very much, Juliet. Great, perfect. I have a, I've been able to make amends now, particularly a living amends. I'm trying to be in every moment and every day the kind of person that, I wish I had been all along. But I wasn't. I wasn't. I'm an imperfect person, and I can accept in myself as that imperfect person. You may have heard there's a line in a song or from a poem, depends on where you want to read it. And it's, there's a crack in everything, and that's how the light gets in. And so the light gets into me because of the cracks, the imperfections. Well, that doesn't go quite far enough, I think, because not only does the light get in, but the light shines through. And so right now, many of us, myself included, I'd rather you didn't know some of my imperfections. I'd rather you didn't know some of those nasty things I said about myself at the beginning. I'd rather you just think of me as this wonderful person. Let me correct, fix my halo. But I don't have a halo. I'm so far. I am really imperfect. But that's okay, because that higher power's light that's shining through from you to me shines through you, shines through me, and we can connect with each other. We can let each other know that we are accepted here. I now know that unconditional love exists, and it comes through all of us. And I keep working the steps because I know that I can very easily slip back into those imperfections. I am, recovering, cured. And so, I want to skip ahead really quick. Yeah, 3 minutes. Okay. So I want to skip ahead really quick because to step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with the God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. I try to put myself into conscious contact with that higher power every morning. And then through the middle of the day, I get distracted too often, but I do. So I'll tell you, there's five really quick prayers I say in the morning. I say, first thing, good morning, higher power. There's the first thing. And that's because I'm consciously putting myself into my higher power's presence. Before I even get out of bed, I got to frame my day that way. And when I frame my day that way, I actually have a really good day. It doesn't mean everything's going to go perfect, but it means I can handle whatever comes, which is the third thing I'm going to say. So the first prayer is, good morning, higher power. Second, I give you permission to spoil me with your love today. Now, maybe that sounds funny. I'm giving permission to higher power, to God, to spoil me with love. But, for, let's see, 60, well, almost 60 years, I fought God. I didn't want to do God's will. I wanted to do my will. But God, God's still there. And so I'm giving permission to the higher power to spoil me with that love, that all-loving love. The third thing, I accept everything that's going to happen today at the unexpected as well as the expected, which means, yeah, there's some things I know I have to do, which I don't particularly like, but heavy sigh, I'll do them anyway. And then, of course, the unexpected, when the jerk cuts me off on the highway, I try not to swear at him too much. The fourth prayer, punctuate my day with signs of your presence, because sometimes I get distracted and I forget that higher power is with me all the time. And the fifth thing, thank you, higher power, for everything. So, I try to end my day with Thanksgiving gratitude, but I often forget and I just simply fall asleep. I'm not perfect. I'm on the road to recovery and I have relationships, but with my wife and with my kids again. And that's a wonderful thing. And Juliet's going to tell me I have 1 minute left, right? Yeah, thanks. Good. So please hold on to hope, hold on to love, and believe in the love that you see all around you, and believe in the care of God that you see in the faces of everybody here. Because you probably heard, like, sometimes at the end of meetings, we do the serenity prayer and then say, keep working it because you're worth it. You are indeed worth it. I didn't think I was worth anything. As I said before, useless and worthless, et cetera. And I now know that simply because I am, that higher power loves me. Simply because I'm here. Because if that higher power stopped loving me, I wouldn't be here. And I'm here, and you're here. And please keep working the steps, and please keep coming back. And may our higher power bless us and keep us. And thank you for listening.